Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to you all. Brad, all the best for your new chapter as you go up to Mackay. I'm guessing you've been living with your parents. So welcome to freedom, bro. But you know, your parents will always call you in the beginning, maybe in the first year. And it's good to hear he'll be doing teaching, maths and science, the subjects I hated the most. I went to an Adventist school in Sydney, and my parents don't know this too much, but I used to skip school many times when I would have a chemistry test and a maths test. And I cheated a lot too, and I never got caught. And this is why you have pastors, you know, they understand what grace is all about. I wasn't supposed to be up here and preach and teach the Word of God this morning. It was told if I can do it, because first of all, I heard that Todd was flooded, and then Ray Richter was flooded, but Ray's here. He made it through. Anyway, it's a privilege to share the Word of God, and as I said in Sabbath school, it's happened numerous occasions where I rock up somewhere or something has happened and got to step in. And it always makes me think of what Spirit of Prophecy talks about, being minute men. And I want to encourage you, always be ready to share the Word of God with other people. I also praise God that before I start, that my wife, Elise, and I have now, we have got a call to South Queensland Conference. And so I'll be working in the Brisbane area. I'll be having two churches, Logan Reserve Church and also Bow Desert, which is a little bit more south from Brisbane. And you know, I praise God because we've been praying for that for 2 years. And God answered our prayer. And it really humbles me. And as you know, when your folks get a little bit older, you kind of want to be closer to them. You know, for 20 years, I've been in the mission field for 6 years, in Canberra, in Tasmania, and now finally back home. So it's good to spend time with Mum and Dad. And Dad is, as you know him, full of laughter, full of jokes, and he's getting older in his 80s. Let us pray, and then I'll dive into our message. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless our time in the next 30 to 35 minutes as I share the Word of God. And I pray that we can go away from here closer to you. And I pray that your name will be uplifted. And I pray, Lord, that we want to seek you, that we want to have our hearts prepared. And Jesus, please come soon. We look forward to that day. Lord, what a miracle that is, your coming. It's the supernatural. And I just pray that you will stay close to us until then. So Lord, please be with my words now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to put my stopwatch on here. And when it comes to about 30, 35 minutes, then I'm going to stop. Because I know myself. I can go for an hour and a half, no problems. Very easy. And in Tasmania, I would sometimes talk for about 50, 55 minutes. And then I used to always say to them, they're going to send me to the islands. To Fiji or somewhere where the people, you know, Sabbath just becomes a whole day thing. So what do I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to talk to you about miracles. In the Bible, there are many miracles, and I do not want to focus on counterfeit miracles, but I just want to focus on true miracles. It's very simple. We'll be looking through the stories. I'll be just sharing. We won't be opening up the Bible. You do see miracles of God, which sometimes people would say, well, that's a negative one. And what I mean by that is it's more of a judgment of God. It's not something that's positive. It's a judgment from God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it's a miracle Bible verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you can go through each of the 6 days, and it's a miracle. You know, the third day, there is fruit trees of all kinds. Praise God for mangoes. Praise God. You know, I worked, the last posting I had three churches. One of them was going to King Island every 3 weeks. Can you believe that a return flight to King Island, which is half an hour, is $470? It's expensive. And I remember I saw a mango there for $6.99 at IGA. I went, whoa. So, you know, praise God for fruit trees and popo and papaya. You come to all these days, the sun, moon, and stars on day 4. God created mankind on day 6. He created him from the dust of the ground. He created Eve from Adam's rib. That's a miracle. And then you have in Genesis chapter 5, you have Enoch walked with God. And what did God do? He took him. He walked with God for 365 years. That's amazing. And who was Enoch's son? Methuselah. He lived for a long time. 969 years. And then after that, you come to Genesis chapter 6, and you have Noah. He is giving a prophetic message. I love what the New Testament says. He's a preacher of righteousness. And when you study that word righteousness, he's a preacher of love, of God's character. And he's preaching for 120 years that there's going to be a flood that's going to come. You know, I like what Patriarchs and Prophets says, that everything he had, he invested. He invested it all for building this ark. I want to encourage you, invest everything for the kingdom of God. So here he is preaching that a flood was going to come. And remember, you come to Genesis chapter 7, and you've got clean animals going into the ark. 7 male, 7 female. They're all clean animals. And then you also had, later on, unclean. You also had unclean animals going into the ark. What a miracle that is. And then it began to flood. And it was a judgment from God. There was warning given prior to that. And there was 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And then it stopped. And then 150 days left. And then finally they came out of the ark. Then you have Genesis chapter 11. There's a miracle there too. You have the Tower of Babel. And God confounded the languages there. Remember, there was a bad city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And you had the two men, they were two angels, and they came to Lot's place. And the other men who came there, they wanted to know these two men carnally, and they were all blinded. A miracle. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Fire and brimstone came down from heaven. Many times in the Bible, you actually read how fire comes down from heaven, down to earth. You have Lot's wife. She turned around. She became a pillar of salt. Who was the first miracle birth that we read of in Scripture? It was Isaac. It was Isaac. And this is the first of 7 miracle births born to Abraham and Sarah. But then we have the second miracle birth, and you have Jacob and Esau. And when you read the Bible, it says how Isaac pleaded with the Lord that his wife would get pregnant. And she did. Jacob and Esau, interesting. Jacob becomes known as Israel. Esau, he went off the wagon. Okay, this is where the Edomites, also you have the lineage of the Edomites. Then you have the third miracle birth, and you have Joseph is born to Jacob and Rachel. Then we come to the book of Exodus, and you read about baby Moses and how his mother made an ark of, she made an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with Ashfield and pitch. And Moses was placed in the ark, and he was on the Nile River. And I remember talking to an 11-year-old kid saying recently, not too long ago, I said, it's a miracle that he did not drown. And this 11-year-old kid said to me, it is more of a miracle that the crocodiles did not eat him. Are you starting to get the picture, brothers and sisters? There are miracles all throughout Scripture. You cannot be a Christian without the belief in the supernatural. You cannot be a Christian without the belief in miracles. You read about the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. That's a miracle. And then at this burning bush experience, you read Exodus chapter 4, you have God having a dialogue with Moses. It's going backwards and forwards. And Moses is saying, well, God, how do I know you're going to be with me? Moses says, Sorry, God says to Moses, throw down the rod. And he did. And what did he become? A serpent, a snake. But then he goes, pick up the serpent. And he becomes a rod again. It's like two miracles in one. You have the rod become serpent, and serpent becomes rod. But then God says to Moses, put your hand in your bosom, in your chest, and take it out. And it was leprous. Then he says, put it back in, and took it out, and it was restored. Sometimes what you see is there's almost like two miracles in one event. As God is speaking to Moses and his brother Aaron, he says to Aaron and to Moses, when Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. And so we know that later on, you have Moses and Aaron there before Pharaoh, and Aaron throws down his rod and he becomes a serpent. And so did you have a counterfeit miracle. You have the Egyptian magicians and sorcerers. They came and they did the same thing. And what did Aaron's rod serpent do to the others? Swallow them up. So there you go. You have a rod become serpent. Serpent swallows others. It's like two miracles in one just there. You have 10 plagues. Number one, water becomes flood. Waters become, blood, frogs, lice, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts. You can eat locusts, by the way. I wouldn't encourage that. If you do, call me. I want to take my phone and record you, use it as a sermon illustration. But locusts, God sent that. Darkness, the firstborn being destroyed. The Passover was instituted. And we read how, in order to be protected, and by the way, many times you see that God, the God of miracles, is a God who preserves. I believe it's 1 Chronicles chapter 18, where twice it mentions there, David, you are going to be preserved. And with the Passover there being instituted, remember they had to put blood on the side of the doorpost and also on the top. You know what's interesting? Jewish tradition tells us that at times, they would. There was times where they put blood on the side, on the top. Some did this. And also there was like a lamb's body at the bottom. Now that's interesting. That's not found in scripture, but a lamb's body, a dead one, was at the bottom. And it's interesting, you can draw almost a picture of a person like this, kind of like on the cross, blood here, blood on the top, blood at the bottom. And it's interesting how John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. There was a pillar of cloud. That's a miracle. The pillar of cloud for shelter from the sun. A pillar of fire for warmth and for light at night. That's a miracle. The crossing of the Red Sea. What a miracle that is. And then as they crossed the Red Sea, you start to read how Israel complains a lot. If you love complaining, brother or sister, go and read the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is known as the book of murmuring and complaining. And they're complaining. The water is bitter. And what did God say to Moses? Throw a piece of tree in it. And it became sweet. How strange is that? You know, there's some strange and weird miracles in Scripture, by the way, especially when you start looking at some of these stories of Elijah and Elisha. Yeah, I can see some of your heads are nodding. You know, throw a piece of tree and the water became sweet. It's a miracle. My friends, there was a miracle that lasted for 40 years. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, something fell every day. What am I thinking of? Manna. Can you believe it fell every day? If you kept it the following day, it's not good. Bread, worms. But then on Friday, preparation day, it fell twice as much and it never went bad the following day. That's a miracle for 40 years. You know, as I'm talking to you, you ought to be reflecting on the miracles that have been happening in your life. Reflect on the miracles that have been happening in your life. Joshua 3 verse 5 says this, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Sanctify means set yourself apart. Be holy. Sanctify yourselves. Joshua is speaking to Israel. Remember, the book of Joshua is a book of battles. Sanctify yourselves tomorrow. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. That means miracles and signs for you. Some of us are not experiencing miracles because we are not fully committed and submitted to God. My dear brothers and sisters, I still believe God does miracles today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God of miracles. Israel camped in Rephidim, and you read this in Exodus chapter 17. The people complained and they wanted water, and God told Moses, "Strike the rock," and he did, and water came out. We come to Exodus chapter 17, and there you read the story of the Amalekites and Israel. And Moses said to Joshua, "Go and lead the battle against the Amalekites." It's their first battle as they exited out of Egypt, as they crossed the Red Sea. And you read that when Moses' hands were up, Israel prevailed. But when his hands went down, then the enemy prevailed. And then Aaron and Hur, you read how Moses sat on the rock and Aaron and Hur put his hands up and Israel won. They prevailed. And again, you get the imagery of Moses sitting on the rock. Jesus is the rock. His hands are up. You get the imagery of the cross. There's typology. And there's more that could be expounded on that. Even with water, where Jesus is the water of life. In Leviticus chapter 9, you read there how Aaron does offerings. The priesthood is instituted for the Levites. And Aaron, he does a few offerings to the Lord. And then you read how fire also came down from heaven and consumed an offering. But then in the next chapter, you have Nadab and Abihu. And they are the sons of Aaron. And they offered profane fire. Profane means unholy. KJV says strange fire to the Lord. You know, there was a special way when you had incense. This has to do with the altar of incense and the ingredients. And they didn't do it according to God's way. In other words, they were disobedient. My friends, be careful with what's sacred and what's common. That's the teaching there. Between what's sacred and what's common. And they were making things that is sacred common. And friends, there was a judgment that came upon them. Fire came from the Lord and devoured them. Yes, it's a miracle, but it's more of a judgment. Then you have, in Numbers chapter 11, the Israelites are in a place called Taberah, and they're complaining. And on the outskirts of the camp, fire of the Lord burned them. Doesn't sound good, things that are happening here with Israel. Then we come to Numbers chapter 11. And the Israelites were not happy with the food. They were complaining, "We want the flesh pots of Egypt." And what did God send them? God sent them KFC. Right? You know, recently I mentioned the 11-year-old kid. His name is Emmett. We were talking and he said to me, "You know what KFC stands for?" I said, "No." He said, "Kids Fattening Center." And God sends them quail. And when you read the scriptures, it says that it was about a day's journey this way that there was quail, and it was 2 cubits high. Now, how long is a cubit? About 46 centimeters to about 53 centimeters, or 54 centimeters. 1 cubit is approximately half a meter. So 2 cubits is about a meter high. This way, there's quail about a day's journey, and there's quail this way about a day's journey. It's about a meter high. And the Bible says the least that one gathered was 10 homers. And I said to myself, "What's a homer? How much is 10 homers?" Then it said, "It's 62 bushel." And I said, "What's 62 bushel?" And it said, I converted at 2,200 liters. And you can do the math and calculate that in kilogram. Is 1 liter equal to 1 kilogram? So can you imagine one person having all of that quail? And while the food was in between their teeth, a plague came. Numbers 12. You have Miriam and Aaron. They're complaining. They're complaining about Moses. Two things. First of all, they complain about Moses' wife. She's an Ethiopian. Oh, she's of a darker skin. She's different. Number two, they were jealous. Oh, does God only speak through Moses? So God says to Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, come to the tabernacle of meeting. And they do. They come to the tabernacle of meeting. Then he says to Moses, sorry, not to Moses, to Aaron and Miriam, step forward. And they do. And what happened to Miriam? Mamma mia. She became leprous. Became a leper. Straight away when that happens, Aaron is interceding. Oh Lord, please restore her. And then Moses, the other brother, is also praying. He's interceding. Restore our sister. And remember, Miriam had to be outside of the camp of Israel for 7 days. And the Bible is clear. They could not continue journeying until she comes back. I don't know about you. That would be embarrassing for Miriam. Everyone in the camp of Israel knew. But she became leprous. And then she was restored again. And we know that in the Bible, leprosy also represents sin. But friends, that leprosy of sin, God can do a miracle if you're willing to give everything to Him. Everything to change that heart. Numbers chapter 16. You have the rebellion of Korah. And you have Dathan and Abiram. You have this trinity, this coalition, who go against Moses and Aaron. And if you ask me what the real problem was, it was authority. That was a real issue. It was authority. Actually, there's a lot of issues today. And when you boil down what the issue is, it's authority. And so, again, this, very similar to what Moses and Aaron were saying. Oh, does God only speak through Moses and Aaron? And they're complaining. And they influenced 250 other leaders. And then you read how the earth opened up and swallowed Abiram, Dathan, and Korah and their household. And the 250 other leaders, fire came down from heaven and consumed them. But one thing I don't understand is that the very following day, the people are complaining. You said, and they're complaining to Moses, what have you done to our leaders? And there's a plague that begins to happen. And straight away, Moses says, hey, we need to make sacrifices. We need to make atonement. And finally, the plague was stopped. In number 17, you have the budding of Aaron's rod. When you study that story, again, there's authority issues as well. Then you have, and this is now coming to the end of the 40 years, Moses' ministry. Moses was told to speak to a rock, and water was to come out. Did he speak to the rock? No, he struck the rock twice. And God said, you can't enter into the promised land. But praise God, there was a miracle that took place. He did not enter into the promised land, but he resurrected. He resurrected. There's about 10 or 11 examples in scripture of resurrections. My dear brothers and sisters, I still believe that Jesus can raise people from the dead today. There's a number of examples. Elijah resurrected. Elisha, remember, there was a person that was buried and touched Elisha's bones, and that person was resurrected. That's a weird story. But you know what God was trying to teach there? Because at that time, the northern kingdom of Israel was thinking, oh, God is not, he cannot hear us. He's not listening to us. We're dead. We've got no one among us. And God is saying, no, this is a miracle here. I'm still here with you. Sometimes we think God is not with us, but he's there. He's there. You have numerous examples of resurrections. You have in Luke chapter 7, you have the widow's son at Nain. He was resurrected. Jesus had compassion. Jairus' daughter, Mark chapter 5, she's resurrected. John chapter 11, Lazarus is resurrected. Then in Matthew 27, remember, after the resurrection of Jesus, that's a miracle. After the resurrection of Jesus, there were others that resurrected with him too. They're known as first fruits. And Ephesians chapter 4 says how they were captive up to heaven. In Acts chapter 20, you read about Eutychus. You know, this young man, Eutychus, he fell asleep while Paul was teaching and preaching. I hope none of you fall asleep. I hope none of you. You know, when the Bible says Eutychus was a young man, usually what I usually thought, it's a teenager. But when you look at the Greek is neonios. And when you look at the SDA Bible commentary, it says, strictly speaking, between the ages of 24 and 40. Whoa, so he's not a teenager. But he fell asleep, and there was a miracle. Even Paul being stoned, miracle. I still believe today that God is able to raise people from the dead, but it's according to his will and to the glory of God. At the end of the day, what's going to save you is your faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in God. So we continue with miracles. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. You have Moses. He did the wrong thing, but God resurrected him. And do you remember at the Mount of Transfiguration? It appears in three of the gospel books. You have Moses on one side. You have Elijah on the other side. And Elijah was taken miraculously in a fiery chariot up to heaven. And you have Jesus in the middle. You know, a number of times the Bible mentions how Elijah is man of God. A few times. Actually, his successor, Elisha, about 30 times in Scripture it's mentioned the man of God, the man of God, more than any other person in Scripture. There's only about 8 individuals in Scripture that are called man of God. Now, Daniel's never mentioned that he is man of God, but we know the characteristic shows that he is a man of God. But there's a number of people who are mentioned that they are man of God. And the first person in Scripture that is called the man of God is Moses in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. So you think of this, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you've got Moses on one side, man of God. You've got Elijah on the other side, man of God. And in the middle, you have God-man, Jesus Christ. Actually, the incarnation of Jesus is a miracle. And it will continue to be a mystery forever. And you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy to accept that in faith. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things which are revealed to his children belong to them forever. If you're always questioning, you need evidence for everything, well, where's faith? And if you're always questioning, brother or sister, I'm sorry to say this, we always concentrate on the Pharisees a lot and their characteristics, but you know, the Sadducees were always up to hypothetical questions. In Numbers chapter 21, you read about how many were bitten by fiery serpents. And then God said to Moses, okay, make a brazen serpent, and that serpent represented Christ. And when you look at it, you'll be restored. Have you ever had an animal speak to you? Can you believe a donkey spoke to Balaam? I don't know about you, but that's a miracle. Actually, the counterfeit miracle in the beginning of Scripture, a serpent speaking. If you went to Dubbo Zoo or you went to Taronga Zoo in Sydney and you heard a serpent speaking, I think you would flee and run. And yet Eve starts talking to this serpent. That's a counterfeit miracle. But God spoke through a donkey. In Joshua chapter 3, you have the parting of the Jordan River, and Israel crosses. In Joshua chapter 6, you have the fall of Jericho. They walked around the city of Jericho for 6 days once, and on the 7th day, 7 times. So 13 times all around. Then they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. There was deliverance. Oh, don't forget Rahab. Rahab is something more than just the walls falling down. There's a change of heart. change of heart. Miracle. She's also part of that genealogy. Jesus comes through. You know, the book of Joshua, I don't know about you, but when I read the book of Joshua, it's a book of battles and bloodshed. Joshua chapters 1 to 5, it's also all about preparation and preparing. Joshua chapter 6 to 12 is all about conquering. And then Joshua chapter 13 to chapter 24, it's also all about dividing occupation inheritance. You know how many battles there are in the book of Joshua? 13. 13. In the end, some 31 cities and towns were conquered. Out of those 13 battles, and each one of them, you know, when Israel won, it's a miracle. Now, I have to ask this question. Out of the 13 battles, how many battles did Israel win? 12. They lost one battle. See, after they won that first battle, the Battle of Jericho, the walls came tumbling down, then you read Joshua chapter 7, how some 2,000 or is it 3,000? No, 36, I believe. No. Now I'm mistaken. There were spies that were sent to go to Ai. It's a city. Ai. Okay, Ai does not stand for artificial intelligence in this context. So they go, they were spies, and they come back. And they said to Joshua, we only need some 2,000 to 3,000 troops to go there and defeat them. There was about 12,000 people in Ai. So 3,000 were sent. 36 died. And now they're mourning. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Now you have the sin of Achan. I'm not going to get into that. But they also neglected to ask God, God, should we go and fight this battle? My friends, don't fight the battles on your own. The battle belongs to the Lord. And when your commander-in-chief is leading, that's when you're expecting miracles. You know, in Joshua chapter 10, you read that when there's a battle and there was this Amorite confederacy, some five different cities or nations, I need to look that up again, but they were going against Israel. Can you remember that the sun stood still? Sun and the moon stood still till the Israelites won the battle. You know, I've prayed sometimes, Lord, make the sun stand still. Yeah. So I can preach longer. Actually, I can go, you know, Sabbath only finishes at 6:44 or so, so I can keep on going. You ought to be asking yourself the question, as I'm teaching, preaching the word of God, what miracles have I been experiencing in my personal life? What miracles? Then we come to the book of Judges, and I can see my clock, 29 minutes and 58 seconds. So in about 5 minutes I finish, okay? But you come to the book of Judges and you read there how God delivers Israel from Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. You know what's interesting? When you go to Revelation chapter 16, the sixth plague, you read about the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon means mountain or hill of Megiddo. So now the next question is, what is the mount or hill of Megiddo? In order to unlock Revelation, you go to the Old Testament. And in Judges chapter 4, there's a place called Tabor. And nearby, you have a mountain known as... Sorry, you have a place called Megiddo. You have a place called Megiddo, and nearby you have a mountain called Tabor. And you read how the Philistines... Sorry, the Canaanites, and I get mixed up sometimes between Philistines and Canaanites, but the Canaanites were pursuing Israel, and they're fleeing Megiddo, and they go to the Mount of Megiddo, which is Mount Tabor. And as these Canaanites are in their chariots, what does God send? Queensland rain. And what did it do to the ground? Made it muddy. And what happened to the chariots? They got bogged. And what did Israel do? They came down the mountain. And they went against the enemy. And God delivered the enemy into their hands. That's the Battle of Armageddon. where there will be this spiritual victory for God's people at the end of time. It's not a miracle on our part. We cannot do anything. We do it through Jesus, through God. Have you ever acted like Gideon? Lord, I'm going to test you. Dew on Gideon's fleece, wet when it shouldn't be and dry when it shouldn't be. In Judges 13, the angel in the flame, a miracle birth, Samson, Judges chapter 13. Judges 14, a lion slain by Samson. Judges 14, 30 Philistines killed by Samson. Judges 15, Samson caught 300 foxes and he had fun with them. I don't know. Man. Samson, Judges chapter 15, Samson defeats 1,000 Philistines with a jaw, with a jawbone of a donkey. Then he got so thirsty that there was rock there and God split the rock and there was water that came out and he drank it and his spirit, the Bible says, was revived. The city gates were carried away by Samson. Dagon's house or temple was pulled down by Samson. Yes, Samson had a weakness, but he repented and finally he put his hands on those two pillars. Again, the imagery of the cross. He sacrificed his life. And more people died then than all the people that were killed prior to that, some 3,000 people. Friends, I've shared with you some 59 miracles thus far, and there's probably more. It's incomplete. And if I go through my notes, just with the Old Testament, I have over 100 examples. And then when I come to the New Testament, and I have some 70 examples. Just with the healing of Jesus, there's some 30 miracles. Just healing, healing, healing. He healed more than he preached. Miracle, miracle. Jesus is still able to heal today. But you know what, my dear brothers and sisters? In closing, let me read a few statements. Signs of the Times, 26th of November, 1902, paragraph 8. We are sometimes asked, why does not God work miracles through the church today? As he did in the days of the apostles. Because the church refuses to be guided and controlled by him. Christ's love in the heart, revealing through the life its wondrous power, this is the greatest miracle that can be performed before a fallen, quarreling world. Let us make it possible for God to work this miracle. Let us put on Christ, and the miracle-working power of his grace will be so plainly revealed in the transformation of character that the world will be convinced that God has sent his Son to make men as angels in life and character. My dear brothers and sisters, friends, the greatest miracle is a change of heart, conversion, submitting, surrendering, giving your life to Jesus. That is the greatest miracle. Testimonies for the Church, volume 9, page 152. The miracle working power of Christ's grace is revealed in the creation in man of a new heart, a higher life, a holier enthusiasm. God says, a new heart also will I give you, quoting Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And then it says, is not this the renewal of man, the greatest miracle that can be performed? One more statement. The book Evangelism, page 289. The conversion of the human soul is of no little consequence. It is the greatest miracle performed by divine power. Actual results are to be reached through a belief in Christ as a personal Savior. The greatest miracle, my dear brothers and sisters, is when a person gives his heart, his life fully to Jesus Christ. Rahab gave it fully to God. Acts chapter 2, you have Peter preaching that day, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. They saw Jesus as the Christ, as the anointed one, as the Messiah. That is the greatest miracle. Jonah went to Nineveh. Oh my. And at that time, They repented. Wow, what a great evangelist. 120,000 people followed God. Now the city didn't continually. See, it's not just, oh, I've given my life over to God. You want to keep on asking God to change you day by day, day by day, taking up the cross daily and following him. You know, friends, I've come to the point in my ministry, I enjoy prophecy, and I've taught a lot of prophecy. But in the end, it's about what's more important is having that full relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, I do believe we're living in the last days, and maybe some of you will be locked up in some prison. You're not going to be thinking about, oh, Revelation 13 and all this. You're going to be asking yourself, where is my relationship with God? Have I fully submitted? Have I fully surrendered everything to him? And you know what? God's able to take you out of that prison. Just like in Acts chapter 16, you have Peter and Silas. They were singing hymns and they were praising God. Friends, also having a miracle of God is having peace in your hearts. You know, this week I was asked to do an anointing. I went over. There was just two of us. I don't need to give you the details. As far as I know, the lady is not restored, but her attitude, she has peace. She has peace in God. My friends, you read about the four missionary journeys of Paul in the book of Acts. He's preaching to the Gentiles and to the Jews. I want to encourage you, share Jesus with other people. Yes, I know it's holiday time, but I can tell you Bundaberg needs evangelism. Brisbane needs evangelism. There's so much fish. We have the best message on planet Earth. Tell people about Jesus. John 20, verse 30 and 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So in closing, my friends, I want to encourage you that you pray for miracles in your personal life, that you have love in your hearts, that you have a renewal of heart, and I preach to myself as well. And friends, let's look forward to that miracle when Jesus is going to come again for all of us. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. Amen. God bless you. Dear loving Father, which art in heaven, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you are a God of miracles. Lord, you know what's happening in each one's life. Lord, I just pray that they will have full peace in you. Lord, I pray that whatever is challenges they have in their personal life, that they give it all to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that we all prepare our hearts and that we want to eagerly and zealously stand on the sea of glass. Lord Jesus, we ask that you come soon and bless this church. And Lord Jesus, continue to be also Bradley and his new experience and his new adventure. And I just pray, Lord, that we can have a sense of mission for your work here in Bundaberg, in Queensland. So Lord Jesus, come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.